Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
Now, this is going to be fun because I'm going to talk about this for a little while. Anybody remember this? The reference point for money is letter A, knowing where it goes. We said knowing where it's going. Every time I write that down, spell check says that's not right. And I said, I know it, but it rhymes. So it's knowing where your money's going. And I think everybody needs some kind of a system that you can keep track of where your money's going. However you do that, you can do a pencil and paper. You can do on Quicken. You can do all kinds of computer programs. There's all kinds of things, bank statements. But I think there needs to be an awareness of where your money's going every single day. I check mine every day. It's not because I'm greedy or love money. I just want to know where that stuff's going because I keep a good track of it. Now, the letter B, we're going to put it up there in a second, is what we talked about last week. It's the objective. When I'm trying to hold that thing up, the objective is to keep this dollar sign up in the air. But that's not what we're talking about, money, just to keep yourself floating. What we talked about last week was letter B, the worthy objective, is to honor God. Now, I know some people, you ask them what about money, and it's all about saving. Others, it's all about spending. Others, it's all about this, that, or the other. But we talked last week, and the worthy objective is to honor God with your money. Some people can save, but they just can't give. Some people are so generous, they can't even hold on to money. They can't save it. Some people can spend, but they never can save. And other people, you've known them probably so tight they can't even spend a dollar. Who knows people like that? My wife is frugal. My wife is very frugal. And I used to complain about her being frugal. And when I was, remember Dale C. Dew? They moved away probably 10, 15 years ago, but he was a grape farmer and making raisins. And one day, Dale and I were out somewhere, and Terry was so frugal, and I was like, man, she's so tight. And he says, you know, Delmer, my wife used to be that way, but she got over it. If I were you, I'd just keep my mouth shut. And I thought, that is wisdom coming out of a man's mouth, and I kept my mouth shut, and my wife is frugal to this day. Thank God. Now, and I think that the decision to honor God is really a defining moment in your life. I think it's one of those come to Jesus meetings. It's one of those times when you say, Lord, it's not just saving more, giving more. And I'm not, we're not talking about giving. We're talking about living. So Lord, let my money and my personal finances honor you. Lord, let that be the moral compass. Let that be the true north of what I'm trying to do here. Let it honor you. And I think we learned to make that objective, and we did it last week, and I think we do it often, is, Lord Jesus, here's my money. Lord, help me, teach me, show me how to honor you with my money. And the third letter, C, is a constant correction. And today we're going to talk about debt. When I hold that thing, it's constant corrections. If you're going to have a balanced financial life, you're going to learn to have a reference point to keep your eye on your money. Number two, you're going to get, a worthy objective to honor the Lord. And the third one is constant corrections. And now we're talking about debt today. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came? You were feeling bad enough about yourself, and then you come to church, and I'm going to let you have it one more time. Oh, Pastor, hit me again. I just love it. The truth is we're all impacted by our family of origin, aren't we? Whether some of you saw how your parents manage money and you've decided, I'm not going to do it that way, and you go to the opposite. Sometimes you watch your parents manage money and don't raise your hand, but whose parents ever fought over money? Maybe if your kids ever watched you fight over money. It's the money management issue. And so we learn it from our parents. And a lot of folks think, if I'm smart enough to earn it, I'm smart enough to manage it. And that simply is not true. I know a lot of smart people, and they earn a pile of money, and they can't hold on to anything. They're making bad investments, and they say, it's got to be true. The internet said so. Who knows what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just, you ever listen to people and their philosophy of money and it scares you to death? I know some of you must be nervous even now as we speak. But now the biblical perspective of debt is that people that had a lot of problems would be in debt. It was a lifestyle. Oh, look at that poor person. They're in debt. Oh, isn't that sad? I wonder what happened to them. And the biblical perspective is when things were not going well for you, you would be in debt. And in the generation that we live today, how many of you know if you don't have some debt, your FICO score won't be what it ought to be? And so debt is one of those alluring things. Now, I want to tell you a story for you new timers that will not understand anything of the old. Remember the day, us old people, that if you wanted a wash machine, you would go to Sears or Montgomery Ward's, which is no more, God rest her soul. You know, Elaine Mixie worked for a Montgomery Ward's for 30 years, Elaine? We used to call them Monkey Ward's. But anyway, you would go to Montgomery Ward's or Sears, even before Kmart was around, and you would say, I would like a wash machine, and so I don't have the money to buy one right now. So you'd give them $100, and you'd ask them to go put the wash machine into the back warehouse somewhere. And then the next week, maybe you'd bring 50 more and 100 more. And then whenever you paid it off, you would say, would you please deliver it to my house? Who remembers what that used to be called? Layaway. Anybody under 20 says, well, that's just stupid. Why don't you give them the card? And the trouble with giving somebody the card is by the time that, one thing about layaway, when you finally paid for it, you picked up a brand new wash machine. And the way it is now, by the time you get paid for it, you need another new one. Or whatever it is you buy, and it's the shiny wore off. Who's ever paid for things when the shiny, still paying when the shiny was gone? Or you lost it. Or it was time to replace it. Or you ate it. You know, I mean, that's what we do. And the truth of it is, when I hold this stick, I'm not going to try to hold it anymore because I can't do it and hold the mic. But when I hold that stick and I get out of balance, just a second or two, and it shows. That thing will fall right over. There's very little grace there holding that stick level, because when I don't make the right kind of corrections, it falls quickly. But that's not true with our money. Sometimes we can be out of balance for a long time. And so you just refinance. Problem solved. You consolidate your bills. Problem solved. We took all of our bills instead of having several bills. Now we've got just one monthly payment, and it's even less than it used to be. So, woo, give me the card. We're going off to the races again. Now, the truth of it is, I can up my standard of living. I really can, with just my signature. Do you know I could go in? I saw Sam's Club had it the other day. There are 80-inch flat-screen TVs, and it's just awful. Mine's only 60-inch. How can you watch TV off a 60-inch TV? It's just terrible, especially to get a little older. You can't hardly see it. And I tell you what I could do is I could walk into Sam's Club and walk out with an 80-inch TV for $3,500 or whatever, just with a signature. And I'm so embarrassed. My TV is probably 4 inches thick. You really can buy them about an inch thick anymore, and that's the kind I really need to have. How many know there's several ways to up your standard of living? One is with a signature. We call it debt. I wrote a little thing in your bulletin. I hope you like it. There are two ways to bump up your standard of living. One is fast. The other is slow. One brings peace. The other brings woe. I have little sayings like that. I tell my grandkids, fat and skinny went to bed, fat rolled over, and skinny was dead. Do you remember that, Christian? Yeah. I got a little poem for everything. You know what I mean? There are two ways to bump up your standard of living. One way is fast, the other is slow. One brings peace, the other brings woe. Now, the truth of it is, God talks a lot about money, very little about giving. Most of God's talk about money is not to give more and go to church and all that kind of stuff. It's not about giving. It's about managing. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The reason I'm talking about it, because now we're trying to bring more money in and all that kind of stuff, it's a management issue. Rarely is it a giving issue. And so, and debt it breaks, well, let me tell you, number one, let's get there. God's design for his chosen people was to reflect his goodness and wisdom. God's design for his people was to reflect his goodness and wisdom. Look at Deuteronomy 28. Start reading with verse 12. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. This is not like a command and an edict. You better not, you better not. This is how it's going to be, guys. You're going to have so much. You're going to be the lender and not the borrower. Verse 13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never on the bottom. Verse 14, don't turn aside from any of the commands I give you today to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Now, concerning debt, my grandparents, probably your great-grandparents, thought that debt was a sin. I was raised in a home where debt was just dumb. Why would you do that? Because that's not how we want to live. Today, like I said earlier, debt is almost a necessary evil. Because who can get your credit built up and all that? You hear teenagers coming out of high school, going into college, coming out of college, going into adulthood. You hear them talking that way, and you think, wow, God's design was that you would be lending. You would be investing. See, one way of bringing up your standard of living is to save and invest. Save and invest. Turn a dollar on some things. Save and then invest and be wise. And your standard of living goes up. Brings peace to you. The other is to sign your name on the dotted line. You take it home today. But there's a stress that comes with that when every month you are obligated to pay Mr. Visa, Mr. MasterCard, or whoever that may be. And it brings all kinds of stress to your life. Number two, are you with me so far? God lays out a simple principle of financial freedom. Here's what he says, by the smartest man in the world, the richest man in the world. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is a slave to the lender. You know what the golden rule is, don't you? He that has the gold rules. Kind of humorous, but it's kind of true. The golden rule is the slave, the lender, is the master over the borrower. Borrower. The borrower is a slave to the lender. The rich rule over the poor. In slavery. Enslaved. And my question is, why would we do that? Why would we purposefully put ourselves in a slave position? The Emancipation Proclamation, when the slaves in the U.S. were finally free, and they didn't put themselves there. They were brought over on the boat, as it were, and they found themselves, and they were finally freed. Why would we intentionally and with design, we consume our way into slavery? We get enslaved to companies, to Visa, to MasterCard, and we're enslaved to people that don't even know, we don't even know their name. And for them, they're just a number to us. We're just a number to them. And the scripture is very clear, and I'm not judging you, and I'm not being harsh on you, but the truth of it is, when you sign your name to that dotted line, and I'm talking consumer debt, I understand a little bit about business debt. I understand a little bit about debt to buy a house. My dad used to tell me never borrow money on anything that doesn't appreciate in value. This is not a business seminar, so we're not going to talk about business debt, but the scripture is true either way. You borrow on business debt, and you've got somebody else running your business. You really do. You borrow on a house. If it appreciates in value, they used to always do that, not so much anymore. But when I'm talking about that, what I'm really talking about is debt, which takes me to my next point. Financial balance Financial balance most often isn't a matter of fate, but of self-control. Again, the smartest man in the world, Proverbs 25 says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. This goes for people's temper, for their anger, for their sexuality, but also for their money. And that's what I'm talking about today. People that have lost control, it's like the enemy of your soul who's out to capture you, who's out to enslave you, who's out to hold you hostage. He said it's like breaking down the walls of a city is a person who lacks self-control, overcome by strangers. And again, guys, I don't mean to be judgmental, and I'm not talking to this preacher and blah, blah, blah. Brokenhearted Father God says, why would you do that? Don't do that kind of stuff. It will absolutely kill you. We're enslaved to a lifestyle, and our master becomes the ruler of our generosity. You're sitting in church, maybe me or somebody else, talking away. There's something arises in your heart that says, give, give, give. And then there's the thought that you got your bills due next week, and MasterCard says, pay, pay, pay. Do you ever in the office, workplace, or something, see a need, and people are chipping in, and maybe you give a dollar or two or five, but you'd like to do a lot more because it's such a good thing, and there's that thing in you that has a desire to, but your master says, you're not going to do that. Here's what you are going to do, is you're going to pay me next week. So in the conflict of generosity, I'm convinced that people have a basic desire and a willingness to be generous, to give, to help people in need, to lift people up. But, Bud, when you are absolutely strapped to a debt system, you don't have a dollar to give, because every dollar is counted for and it's going out the door next week. Number four, getting and staying out of debt requires gazelle intensity. Gazelle intensity, what is that? I'm going to show you what that is in a minute. I was tempted today, this week, to play you a Dave Ramsey video. But it's an hour and 10 minutes long. And I didn't want to do that. Let me read a scripture that I want to play you a 5-minute, so those of you that keep track, 5-minute video clip. But look what Proverbs 6, 1-6 says. If you've gone into hawk with your neighbor or locked yourself into a deal with a stranger, if you've impulsively promised the shirt off your back and now find yourself shivering out in the cold, that's a Message Bible, by the way, don't waste a minute. Get yourself out of that mess. You're in that man's clutches. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. And Mr. Ramsey's going to explain gazelle intensity. Roll the clip, please.
You can tell, can't you? And I could kind of feel it. Like, that one's going to make it. That one's going to get out of debt. This one's got that rock star thing going. This, right? And I couldn't find it in Scripture. And I was reading through Proverbs. Because, listen, there's 31 Proverbs. If you read one a day, you get you a little spiritual vitamin, right? And if you read Proverbs over and over again and understand it, you'll have a master's degree in finance. It's in there. It's unbelievable. It's the book of wisdom, right? And so I'm reading through Proverbs, and I have Proverbs 6, 1-7. And it says, if you've signed surety, my son, do this. Now, that's Old English Bible talk for, if you've gotten into debt, here's the plan. Now, I had a spiritual experience with God a few years ago. I discovered God is smarter than me. And so when I see a formula like that pop up in front of me, my ears perk up. If you've gotten into debt, do this. And I got my, I'm like, oh, here it is. Here's the biblical answer for how to get out of debt. Well, I'm ready. It says, give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids, and deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, a bird from the hand of the fowler. Now, some of you are very reverent in your interaction with God, and He tolerates me. It's called grace. And so I'm sitting there reading this, and I'm like, you were going to tell me like how to get out of debt and how to get people out of debt, and you give me animal metaphors. What am I supposed to do with gazelles and birds? Really? Come on. Nothing. Crickets. Can't hear a thing, right? So that night, He answered my prayer. I was scanning the channels, and I hit the Discovery Channel, and there were the gazelles. They were out there gazelling around. And I'm like, hey, I was just reading about you guys. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, a bird from the hand of the fowler. This is how you get out of debt. I thought, that's pretty cool. And you know the Discovery Channel was not there if the gazelles were there by themselves, don't you? You know someone else was there. Looking for lunch in all the right places, don't you? You know? And the gazelles, I don't know if you know this, they have a cheetah detector behind their ear and they go, cheetah! Run! Because the gazelles know that they cannot outrun the cheetah. The cheetah is the fastest mammal on dry land. He can go from 0 to 47 miles an hour in 4 leaps. The gazelle cannot outrun the cheetah. And we had to slow this down so I'd have time to talk. This bad cat is seriously fast. And these gazelles, man, they are running for their lives. That's what they're doing. Look, he picked out a college student. Hey, kid. Hey, kid, come here. Hey, kid. Kid, you need to build up your FICO score. Hey, kid. You'll never get a cell phone if you don't have a credit score. Come here. Come here, kid. Come here, kid. I got a free t-shirt for you, kid. Come here. Let me tell you, God says this is how you get out of debt. You got to run for your life. You got to put it in gear. You got to run, 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 run. You got to bust it. You got to bust it. You got to go like your life depends on it. You got to have gazelle intensity. You got to put it in gear like you've never put it in gear. You can wander into debt, but you cannot wander out. You got to have this sense of passion, this sense of attack. Here's an interesting thing. God does not make mistakes with metaphors. As I got to studying this, it's very, very interesting. The cheetah only catches the gazelle, even though the cheetah is faster. He only catches the gazelle 1 out of 19 chases. I got to thinking, I wonder why that is. And then it hit me. Motivation. One guy's trying to have lunch. The other one's trying to stay alive. You got to have this sense of gazelle intensity to get out of debt. When you get that stuff boiling up inside of you, when you have what Les Brown says, he says, when you change your life, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you get disgusted and you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore. This is the last Ramsey in this family tree that's ever going to have one of those collectors call our house unless it's a wrong number. We're done. We're changing this thing. You got to have that sense of power. So gazelle intensity is how you get out of debt. And let me just tell you, the more passionate you become, the deeper you will sacrifice. And the deeper you sacrifice, the more money is freed up, and the faster you'll clean up the mess. And the faster you clean up the mess, the faster you don't have any payments, the faster you build wealth. There's a direct tie, a direct relationship statistically with the level of passion.
Level of passion is to the level of you getting out of debt. I would like to instill to you what I live with myself is a gazelle intensity to stay out of debt. That's why we enjoy this beautiful building like we do. You know, most churches build a building and then pressure money to pay for it. Do you know that we paid cash for this and now enjoy a debt-free facility? Is that just for us? For us and another generation that's going to follow? Some of you look at your debt as a long lost friend. Oh, I don't like you, but I'm so used to you that I feel somewhat comfortable with you. That's why Ramsey's so good with the gazelle intensity. You've got to hate it. Hate it more than you want the new and shiny. The bigger, better, faster. Hope I'm not going to be inappropriate when I tell this story. Dealing with a couple one time, and he was running around on her. And the little missus found out, and she was not happy. And she was giving him the what for it, he better, and oh yeah, yeah, and he was promising anything to get out of the pickle he was in. So as they were talking, and she was mad, and he was trying to fend her off in any way that he could, and making conciliations, and so he was promising the world. So when it looked like her anger had somewhat subsided, he said the thing that about knocked me over. He said, "Honey, would you mind if I kept the sheets that she gave me?" And I said, "You be quiet, I'll go off on him." And sure enough, he eventually ran off with a gal, was married to her for a year or two, then ran off with somebody else. And but when he wanted the sheets, you knew right then it's not over. None of us like bills, but I would like a gazelle intensity in your own family. You know, moms and dads, you're raising kids. Grandmas and grandpas, we're modeling financial behavior for our children and grandchildren. Of how it's managed, what you do with it. From the bumper sticker that says, "I'm spending my children's inheritance," to not being able to turn over a dollar. I think it's a spiritual decision. Now, lest I should be old-fashioned, I think sometimes we just need to get down and repent. Apologize to God for how we look at money. How this world's stuff has really hooked itself into us. And what I found is once the decision is made, once the commitment between you and God, between me and God, is made, that I'm not going to do this anymore. I've heard it time after time. I've seen it in my own life. It's amazing how God will cause circumstances to happen. People stumble across money they didn't know they had. They get a bonus. They get something from somewhere. And God will simply help you out. But the decision has got to be made. I'm not going to do this anymore. We often can't give to people in need because we spent so much on things we don't need. Put that on the screen if you haven't. We often can't give to people in need because we spent so much on things we don't need. Love to give, but you're maxed out. Can't give to people in need because we've got just a closet full. We've got garages full. We rent storage lockers full. And a lot of folks owe on all of it. See, now, incredibly practical. I think you need a plan. Because when you walk out of this building today and the music stops and you and I get out of your head, your life's going to be just like you left it. Hopefully your car is where you parked it. But your life is going to be like you left it. And the lure, I tell you what, the commercials aren't going to slow down. And they're not going to get any less appealing. So I think it's a plan. think, Pastor, this is embarrassing. Not as embarrassing as going bankrupt and have to take it back. Yeah, it's tough. I understand it's tough. Nobody wants to, and I'm not asking anybody to stand up and admit it today, but I think people need help, and I think you might need some help beyond yourself. Maybe a little older guy in the Lord that's been walking with Jesus for a while, has got his bearings together, can help you. Well, I don't want to talk about it. I'd be so embarrassed. Better to be a little embarrassed now than a whole lot embarrassed later. Those of us old guys who've been around a while, we understand this pretty good. And you say, what does this have to do with the Lord? Everything. Everything. Jesus hit the nail on the head when he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We're going to talk about different corrections in the weeks to come. Got about 2-3 more weeks on this thing that I want to spend. Let me pray for you today. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these wonderful people who have patiently listened to me today. Lord, for some who have worked through some of these debt issues. Lord, for those that have been hooked by a culture that says that's just the way it is. What else would you expect? This is life in the 2017s. Lord, I'm asking your word, your Holy Spirit, to break through a culture, break through a mindset that describes what is normal as being, what is dysfunctional as being incredibly normal. Lord, let us see our money and our stuff like you do, Lord. That your desire for us is to lend and not borrow. Your desire for us, Lord, is to be on top and not underneath. To be the head and not the tail. That people could look at our lives and say, what a wise God they serve. What a good God they serve. For how well you take care of us. How you open the windows of heaven. Lord, how you open the vault to your people. And that we are blessed greater than we ever thought. Lord, help us to understand that. I pray it in Jesus' strong name. Amen.